Let's go to St. Louis. Bring in Andy Bagley at CSN Bags with two G's and just a staple of Comcast and just a lovely guy to talk to about baseball. Extra Bags, how are you today?
I'm good, Marty. How are you?
Very good, very good. And how's the weather in St. Louis, by the way? I always ask that first.
Well, it's a little overcast, a little drizzle earlier today. In fact, I'm seeing some drips out my window now. So a little bit of rain, and there may be some more moving in through 5 o'clock or so St. Louis time, but it's supposed to be dry by first pitch. So the field might be a little wet, conditions might be a little wet, but I don't think we're going to have a first pitch impacted by any precipitation.
All right.
So that's good.
All right, very good. Hey, last night, and all the stories, everyone who watched the game and listened to you on Comcast and read everything you did, Madison Bumgarner, just another solid, solid game of playoffs on the road. Was it Madison Bumgarner or was it the Cardinals? Because this Cardinal team is not the slugging team we remember.
Well, I think it was both, and that to me was going to be the story is, you know, can Bumgarner do what the best left-handed pitcher on the planet couldn't do, and that was find a way to, you know, keep the cork on the bottle of this Cardinal team that just gets to October and finds a way to be just really tough out. So whether it's Daniel Descalzo or Pete Cosmo or Adams or, you know, whoever they seem to plug in, because, you know, I'm looking up and down this lineup, and, you know, Matt Holliday is still a big name, and he put a charge into one last night that Gregor Blanco made a nice catch on. But, you know, Johnny Peralta is hitting cleanup for this team, and you don't really think of him as being a cleanup hitter. They don't have Carlos Beltran like they had 2 years ago. They certainly don't have Albert Pujols, but they just find a way to be dangerous. And that seventh inning, I think Mike Matheny said, you know, they don't put a star next to that inning when they start the game and think, okay, this is where we're going to get them. But, you know, for them to just break Kershaw down twice, you wondered, was Bumgarner going to be able to survive that where Kershaw couldn't? And, you know, you saw the way he responded by, you know, he did give up the two hits on pitches he thought were pretty good. But then he did think about, hey, this is the seventh inning. This is their inning. Even if I don't give them any momentum, even if I don't give them any pitches to hit, they're going to feel like they have it because this is where they did their damage. And that thought did occur to him on the mound. He told me that. And so he kept making pitches, and obviously he wasn't going to take any chance when he had to cover first base, and he just ran into Colton Wong like a stock car running a rival into the wall, I think is the way I wrote it. So, you know, he made sure that he was not going to let them break away from him, and they didn't.
What makes him so tough on the mound? I mean, the fastball is a fastball we've seen before. The breaking ball, yeah, we've seen it before. What is it, just the command? What makes him so tough?
Well, two things. One thing Jeremy Affeldt pointed out was that his breaking ball is different now, and he is a guy who does tinker. You know, he didn't have that cutter early in his career. He's got that now. He didn't have that cutter early. He's got it now. He can find a way to, you know, keep the ball off the barrel with that pitch. And then the curveball, you know, he threw one at 70 miles an hour and one at about 76. So he definitely can shape it a little bit for different situations. And that, you know, gets people to swing over the top and gets grounders on. And even some pop-ups because they were trying to stay down and sort of stay on the curveball. And Posey said they just had so much late movement that, you know, even when they stayed on the pitch, they popped it up. He had 11 outs in the air. And then, of course, he can change speeds a little bit on you, too. So all of that makes it difficult. And he's got that sort of, you know, lariat-like syrupy delivery where it's so easy, and then, boom, there's 94 on you. So so he's got a little deception in that regard as well. And, you know, he can beat you with the bat. He can pick off a runner. Yeah. He can help himself in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of people made the point. A lot of very good pitchers have gotten knocked around this mm-hmm. October, and Bumgarner is – you know, shut him down in Pittsburgh and really made his own mistake by throwing away a bunt against Fister and the Nationals. But, you know, otherwise was hanging in a 0-0 game there. And then obviously what he did last night, he's the one guy who's sort of coming through this unscathed. And it's, you know, you always put the caveat on it because we haven't had these three rounds of postseason play plus a wild card for, you know, more than a couple decades. But still, 9 postseason starts is the most by any Giant ever now. And 5 postseason wins are the most by any Giant ever. And he's 25 years old, so it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And the earned run average on the road of 0.59. And you knock out big people, big names in doing that. And I realize these rounds are different than just a World Series, but I brought this up last night. You know, the amount of attention we have today on baseball, with all the internet and social media and the TV coverage and everything that you do and I do and everyone else does, it's so dramatic. The pressure on the players, I think, is as much as it was on Art Neff against the New York Yankees in 1921. Because that was, you know, one of those New York series, and you didn't have people in New Mexico or Canada sitting on every pitch that Art Neff made. I think these records are significant.
Well, I don't know. Art Neff was bigger than Lindbergh in his day. That's what I understand.
5'9", 170 pounds. A lefty.
You know what amazes me is that so many ballplayers, you know, do social media and do Twitter and everything because – you know, if you're a left fielder, you're standing out there on the road, you're going to get heckled and abused and people yell things about your family and whatever else. And you just have to be a professional and tune it out and say, well, that reflects on them, not on me. But then you do the social media and the Twitter, and there's always a troll out there. Even if 10,000 people love you, the one person who doesn't or who has some problem in their life is going to shout at you. And it amazes me that ballplayers do, you know, subject themselves to that by doing the social media, but a lot of them do and enjoy it, and that's one more way that they can connect with fans and put themselves out there. And you're right. I mean, we analyze all of these games to death now, and you know, you just try to say things that are of substance and not just be a talking head and make obvious points. You know, what I enjoy about this job is being able to tell you things about the players that you don't know. You know, like, I have the advantage that I don't have a newspaper deadline anymore, so I don't have to run right upstairs after the game after I get a few quotes. I can stay down there. I've got a little time before I do my post-game TV hit for Comcast. And so I could stay down and talk to Bumgarner after he'd finished all of his rounds of interviews and get a story like the belt buckle story.
Yeah, I want you to know, the belt buckle story is amazing. It's terrific. It's terrific, and I'm glad you brought up. That was my next question. Share that with everybody who didn't have a chance to read that online.
Well, it's a goofy thing, right? He likes belt buckles. He's got one from a friend of his who's a roping champion. He's a big rodeo fan. And he forgot it. He forgot to wear his belt and his belt buckle to the ballpark. And they're staying right across the street at the Westin, you know, so he could just walk back and get it. And it wasn't that. That wasn't a story in itself, obviously. But what was funny about it is I said, well, is it lucky? Because, you know, if you're superstitious, then you can always run back and get it. And his response to that was kind of telling. I think it told you something about him. It was, no, I don't believe in superstition. And if I did think it was superstitious, I'd leave it on purpose. So I wouldn't even have that thought in my mind because, you know, all of that stuff is snake oil and all that stuff is just extraneous sort of thoughts. You know, when he gets on the mound, he's thinking about getting that hitter out. He's not thinking about, you know, any luck or any byproduct of, you know, fate or anything. I mean, it's in his hands. You know, if they make a hit on a good pitch, then you tip your cap. But he's out there trying to make pitches and compete, and that's what he's all about. And if he competes, then he's going to snare those guys by their ankles and let them fall over on their own, and that's what they did.
Boy, the matchup today, Jake Peavy, Lance Lynn, Andy Baggerly is with us. A critical game, I think, for the Cardinals. You never want to go down 2-0 at home. But if another giant pitcher sticks it to him, and Bumgarner has done it already, the Cardinals have to feel, wow, this is just not going to be our year. So for Peavy, you know, we know what Bumgarner can do, but for Peavy, Hudson, Vogelsong, if that's the way it plays out the rest of the way, this is the series for me to see what happens today.
Well, and, you know, momentum can shift so quickly in the postseason. We know that. But you're right. The Giants have to feel confident. Lance Lynn's got good stuff. He really does. I mean, he throws mid-90s. He can bring it. And he's won a lot of games in the big leagues in a short amount of time. But the Giants have to feel confident with this matchup because they've really hit him around, especially in the postseason. Every start is unto itself, so they can't go in overconfident. I don't think they will. And meanwhile, they've got Peavy, who's just on a tear ever since, you know, September. He's really, really been just on his game every single time. And as he mentioned, some of the other postseason starts he had, maybe he hasn't been 100%. He feels that way now. And I think I saw this. I don't want to give you an incorrect stat, but I'm pretty sure I saw this after the Royals won and went 2-0 in Baltimore, that nobody has ever come back in an LCS after losing the first two games at home.
That's hard
for me to believe.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
But you could definitely have that situation in both these LCSs if the Giants win tonight. And then maybe, the Giants are coming back to Missouri, but they're coming back to the other side of the state.
I don't know if everybody realized it, Andy, and we'll let you go. I know you got a busy day today, but, you know, Peavy threw 202 innings this year. This is not just an old guy who happened to put it together for a month or two. He's 202 innings for the season.
Yeah, and you know what? He really just has found a way not to give in. You know, everything he's throwing has a lot of movement to it. And, he has given up some hard hit outs, I think. He might, in terms of the BABIP and everything, might be running on a little bit of the lucky side over this run. But I think most of it is of his own doing and his own making. So you just know when he takes the mound that he's going to give you everything he's got. Yeah. I think he's made that very clear to both his teammates and to Giants fans, who, even though they've only gotten a few months to get to know him. So, whether it works out for him today or not, I think you know what you're going to get. In terms of effort, in terms of intensity, and I think that elevates everybody else's game around him, too.
Yeah, heck of a matchup. Hey, thank you so much. Enjoy the day. We'll follow you on Twitter, of course, at CSN Bags with two Gs, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on Tuesday.
Okay, see you soon, Marty.
Thank you. All right, thank you. All right, that is Andy Bagley. Boy, I'm so glad that he could take the time to be on with us. All right.